All right, turn your Bible with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, and then we'll look at the golden rule of Jesus. Still in keeping with the marriage, we're still on the matter of the marriage. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, the Bible says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Then he becomes more specific in verse 13. He says, "Enter ye at the straight gate." It sounds like counseling. It says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Hallelujah. Next verse. "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." This is the golden rule of Jesus. And this golden rule is a counsel. A counsel on how to enter and to navigate in the kingdom. Are you here? Now, I want to do some work here this morning. Are you with me? All right. So, I want to do some work this morning. All right. It will be difficult for us to understand the concluding part of Romans chapter 6 if I don't do what I want to do right now. Once upon a time, in the course of my service to the nation Nigeria, I operated as a regulator in the oil industry. When you are to be admitted into the oil industry, you must go through some form of orientation. This orientation that you go through acquaints you with the ideals of the industry. Part of the first things that you'll be introduced to is crude oil. They'll bring a crude oil sample into the lecture hall and show you, "This is crude oil." From the chemistry standpoint, crude oil is a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. It's not useful in its crude state, but when it is subject to refinement in a simple fractional distillation column called the refinery, you manipulate this crude oil with pressure and temperature, then it will begin to fractionate. And its contents, its fine contents, will begin to fractionate at various temperatures. Is that clear to that point? So the thing is a complex mixture. May not be useful in its crude state. It has so many things in it. And the fractional distillation column called the refinery is the means by which all those many things in it can come out and be isolated so that they can be put to adequate use. When you introduce the crude oil into the refinery, the first things that come out of the complex mixture are the lightest things, like the gases, the type of gas that you use for cooking, the lightest things, the associated gases. Then the next thing that comes after that is the aviation turbine kerosene that is used to power jet engines. The third thing that comes out is what you call gasoline, but we call it premium motor spirit on the other side. The third thing that comes out is what we call diesel. Is that what it's called here? Diesel. Diesel is heavier than gasoline. So the next thing, so the heavier products come out last until you begin to have things, the solid components, things like asphalt, bitumen. All of that is contained in the complex mixture, the crude oil. Are you there? The reason for bothering you with all of this is not an attempt to make you feel that I'm educated, but many times to explain spiritual things in their accurate context, we'll need to do this kind of, you see, even in the ministry of Jesus, you will find that he was an object teacher. He wanted to speak about the wells of salvation. Then he came and sat by a well like this. He wants the environment to lend itself to the subject that he wants to deal with that day. Do you understand that? Then a woman from Samaria now comes to take water. So, can you give me... I like Jesus. That's how it is. He's trying to bring the spiritual things into the context that we can relate to it. So he asked the woman for water. Meanwhile, he was dressed in Jewish attire. So the woman could discern that this is a Jew. She now said, how is it that you, being a Jew, request something from me, a woman of Samaria? Are you unaware of the fact that Jews and Samaritans don't have dealings? Then Jesus said, if you had known the gift of God and the one that is making requests of you, you would have been the one to ask him for living water. Hey, he's trying to drill a borehole in the woman's soul, but he needs the aid of a physical well to communicate what he brought. The first scope of discernment that the woman had concerning him was that he was a Jew. Are you there? The woman asked again, you are talking about living water. You don't have anything to draw with. From whence do you expect to obtain this living water that you speak about? Jesus saw her level of departure and said, he that drinketh of this well, he shall thirst again. But the waters that I do give, it shall be a well springing unto eternal life. So Jesus came to drill a well in the woman where the waters of eternal life will spring. But in order for him to do that and for the woman to understand, where is he? And I said, all right, give me of this water so that I will not be coming back to this well to draw every day. She was tied to the physical context of things. So in order for her to access the living water that she is requesting for now, Jesus had to ask her a question. See, can you see that the drilling is, where is your husband? I've had 5 husbands and the guy that I'm with now is not my husband. And Jesus said, in this you spoke truly. That means you lie a lot. But today, in this matter, not another, but today, you spoke truly. He said, I have no husband. He said, in this you have spoken truly, because you have had 5 husbands, and the man that you are with now is not your husband. Are you there? The woman now said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Where did it start from? It started from what? Jew. Now, where is it now? Prophet. The well is... That's how Jesus is. Meanwhile, this is not my message. I'm just trying to justify my presentation so that you will know that I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just behaving like Jesus. Jesus now told him, meanwhile, you know that the living water that she was asking for, if the revelation of Jesus that she has ends as prophet, it's not sufficient for her to be given that water. So the discussion has to continue. So our fathers worship God on this mountain. Can you say that the environment lent everything that was needed for the discussion? But ye Jews worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, the hour has come and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father has need for such as this. He's desirous of them. The woman now said, you have gone theological. When Messiah comes, he will explain all these things. And then Jesus said, the one talking to you, I am he. You see, the fountainhead now broke the water. That was the water she used to water her city. Before evening time, the entire city came out to meet Jesus at the same well. So that's how Jesus is. He's an object teacher. All right, so I had to do what I did about crude oil in order for me to explain the life you received when you gave your life to Christ. There are a few terminologies in the New Testament that you are not likely to understand, and if you happen to have been exposed to theological training, right? And you are acquainted with the original Greek and all of that. If that's all you know the original Greek. Okay? There are several scriptures that you will never interpret accurately. You need to know that and also read the text itself, the translation itself, because the people that also did the translation from the original language to English language were theologians themselves. Are you there? Now, so the life of God, which is the Zoe that we received when we gave our life to Christ, is a complex mixture. It has several properties and several different aspects. If you check the Greek word for all of those renderings, all right? It will tie you to one word. But the thing about the Greek is that it is exceptionally elastic. In fact, are you there? One word has 13 different words that it can mean. Are you there? And in interpreting the Bible doesn't have two interpretations. It has one interpretation. But it has various applications. The accurate interpretation of that text is what was in the heart, in the mind of the writer when he was writing. That's the accurate interpretation. Because he didn't have two things on his mind, he had one thing on his mind. The applications can be variable and multiplied, but the interpretation is one. Are you there? If you are diligent enough, you will be able to enter into the mind of that author. If you treat the text with the level of care and sensitivity that is needed for you to transit, for you to travel by the aid of the Holy Ghost, you can have access to the same investment that God put on the heart of the writer. I hope you know that the author of the book is called the Holy Ghost, but he used the instrumentality of various writers. So one author, various writers. That's why the Bible is not capable of private interpretation. And what I mean by that is, are you there? Because it's one author, various writers. But some other religious book is one author, one writer. And the problem with that arrangement, I don't want to cause problems, but the problem with that arrangement is that it is capable of private interpretation. So if you say, imagine that everybody here is one of the writers of a certain section of the Bible, the Holy Spirit used them to write. Are you there? If I want to interpret what this handsome young man wrote, there is no way I can interpret it in isolation of the other writings. If the meaning you made out of that text is alien to these other witnesses, that is not the meaning of the text. You are not with me. Okay, so in Africa, an evangelist was preaching. He said the disciples were in one accord. He now prophesied. I said, you will get your own Honda Accord. You are not. That's a private. That's a private interpretation. He cannot find support for that his position. Are you there? From any of the other writers. Meaning that it was a personal interpretation, and that interpretation is not what the writer had in mind when he was writing that scripture. Did you get that? Alright. The life of God, the way it is described in various texts in the Bible, is so divergent, so elastic. And if we travel to the original Greek word, which we will do, you will see how many meanings that word has. Hence, the elasticity of the application of the use of that word. Are you there? If they use that word here, it may not have the same meaning if they use the same word. Oh my, you are not with me. Because of the elasticity of that word, and because of the complexity of the life of God that you received. Now, come with me, let us do some scriptures. Let us start with John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 3. Let's start there. So the statement that I made, that, you know, I told you I'm an interesting fellow. A lot of people are interested in me. They wait for my teaching. All right? Because part of what I'm called to do is to present the mosaic of apostolic truth without adding religion to it. Now, the danger of that kind of ministry is that everyone that has built and benefited from falsehood, when you present the mosaic, and social media is generous, the algorithm can transport your content to Australia, transport your content to Cape Town in South Africa, transport your content to right there in the heart of Manchester. Then people's eyes are open to see, we've been in deception all this while. So those kind of arrangements, part of what the prophetic ministry does is that he removes the veil that makes it possible for deception to thrive. And so if you are a real prophet, you are going to suffer backlash. It's part of the calling, and you have to be comfortable with it. In fact, you need to, it's a confirmation of the calling, so you need to rejoice. Not every office is a peaceful office. Just like it's a taboo for some, for you to do that under my administration. It's a taboo. It's not. Let me give you an advice. I was teaching somewhere in Nigeria, and I was making them understand that I don't take, I'm a zealot. If you dishonor God before me, you are in the wrong place. The way I will react to it, you may not be able to contain it. All right? So I that's how I am. So I was trying to bring order in the fellowship, and somebody insulted me. I did not hear it. Just insulted me. And then the person became dumb. Yes, true life story. You may not have gone close to someone that knows God. It's not always good. It's not always positive. The lady became dumb in that service. They now brought her to me at the end of the service that I should do something about it. I said, am I aware of how she became dumb? So, they now began to plead so that I would not look evil in their sight. I had to plead with the great one, and then her tongue was loosed. We've seen strange things like that. So I just advise you, you might do that carelessness somewhere and it passes. And then you now do it in another place. Then there's a strange. The people bullied me to pray for that lady. I assure you, now I've developed crocodile skin. I no longer bend like that. The prophets that discipled us, they were tough people, so that people could respect God. Because there was all kinds of carelessness going on. So they were extremely tough. Alright? So the fact that we're in America doesn't change anything. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, you are going to find this scripture. Are you there? Jesus says, this is eternal life. If English language means anything, this is a definite. Is that true? This is eternal life, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The Greek word for eternal life is in your lexicon. G166. That's the Greek word. Are you there? But come with me. Let us define this definition that Jesus gave. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He's saying that it will take the aid of the life of God. The life of God has incorporated in it the requisite seed of discernment that you can utilize to know God, to discern God. That is contained in eternal life. Is that clear? Have you read the scripture that says we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things? It means that there is something that is an accompaniment of the life that you received that is responsible for spiritual knowledge. It is through that accompaniment that we can discern God. Because God cannot be known cerebrally. God must be known experientially. Are you there? You will experience Him and know Him. So if you build intimacy with God and you begin to experience God, then your knowledge of God begins to advance. That's how it is. So there's a component that is inherent in the life that we receive that gives us the ability to know God. Please note, if you see this very well, according to this presentation in this scripture, eternal life here is a quality by which we can discern God. Can you see that? Is that clear? Now, I'm going to show you aspects of the divine life that is qualitative. If you check in the Greek, it has the same pilot number, G166. But various aspects are being traced to that life and described in the scripture. So if you are a slave of the pilot numbers, you'll be confused about what is being presented. So there are aspects of the divine life that are qualitative in nature. And Jesus defined eternal life as the ability to know Him and Jesus whom He has sent. So if you don't have eternal life, you don't have the capacity to know God. Okay? I say, okay?
Yes, sir.
When you find someone behind the pulpit and the person, for as long as he has been a preacher, he has not spoken about God. This is how to hear God. This is how to know God. This is how to walk with God. This is how to be consistent with God. But rather, he teaches about go where you are celebrated. You can know who is born again by what they preach. Because someone can be preaching and there is nothing about God that he has the ability to reveal. It is a great ailment. It's a great spiritual ailment that might have a conclusion that is deeper than the peripheral. You are not with me. Go to, he said, he that is from above, he said, he speaketh the things of God, and the Spirit of God is given to him without measure. Part of the way we know where he's from is the way he speaks. And he that is from beneath speaketh earthly things. Alright? When you sit, maybe you are watching a preacher from your television, from Facebook, and the thing he's speaking about every other time it is earthly. You don't want to be tough. If that is the case, it may be that we can conclude with a very strong extent of accuracy, this man doesn't have access to know God. Be that he doesn't have the life of God, because it is possible for people to do the kind of pastoring I've seen in some places in America without being born again. I've seen. Any man that has eternal life, according to Jesus, he has the facility with which to know God. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom thou hast sent. You there? Okay, so we should use that scripture as a check to know who is worthy to sit under. Number two, there are also scriptures that speak about an aspect of the divine life in terms of its perpetual nature. Are you there? Scriptures like John chapter 3 verse 36. Please don't forget where we are starting from. Don't forget where we started from. We started from the golden rule, which is to enter through the straight gate. Okay? All right. John chapter 3 verse 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life." If you check the pilot number, it is still 166. Are you there? The sense of everlasting life is a life that... Okay, let me click on it and make it available to you. Okay, click on it. And give me the word. No. The pilot number. It's 166. It's the same 166. But is it the aspect of the life? Okay, read the words, the meaning. It means forever. It means everlasting. Are you there? Now, this aspect of the life is the quantitative aspect that is spoken about here. How that the life can continue to exist without end. Human life will end, but that life that was received can continue to exist without end. Together, I was supposed to come into this service. I forgot. I was supposed to come into the service with a gold coin. I met a prophet in Scotland, and he prophesied to me. He gave me a coin, and he prophesied to me about what God had given me, that it was as golden as... No, he gave me a silver coin. Prophesied to me. Say, what God has given to you is like that coin. So I kept it. And today would have been the day I would have used it for my teaching. But it's in my bag, but I forgot it. So let's assume that this is my gold coin. So there's an aspect of that life that speaks about its perpetual nature, meaning that the life of God cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. It is perpetual. And it's the same pilot number, 166. If we continue this study, I can show you different aspects of that life. So it's like the complex mixture, like crude oil, containing different aspects, different possibilities. And the people that translated the Bible are aware of the complex mixture. So in rendering several scriptures, like the one we read in the book of John chapter 17, in rendering that scripture, you could see that the emphasis was the qualitative side of things. If we read some other scriptures, the emphasis is the quantitative side of things. So in the teaching I made, I said eternal life is different from everlasting life. That was the statement that I made. And so many people on Facebook. Calm down. And come with me. Now that you got it, let us go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. So scriptures like John chapter 5, you will see eternal lives. 1 John chapter 5, you will see eternal life. John chapter 17, you see eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 4, verse 14. John chapter 6, verse 64. You will see everlasting life. These are two different aspects of that life. Is that clear? All right, let's do our reading for the morning. Our reading begins from Romans chapter 18, 6 verse 18 to 23. Let us read. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, be made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Now, underline end. Are you there? Good. 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you see that in verse 22, for the same pilot number, G166, he uses what? Everlasting life. And then 23, the same pilot number, he uses eternal life. Did you see that? Before I begin to comment, can you count how many interpretations the word written against G166 has in terms of words? Count the words. Huh? No, not how many times it appears. How many words it can be translated to? How many words do you have there? Oh. Okay, so you have three words, meaning that that word is elastic to accommodate three possible meanings. So that is the reason why eternal life can fit and everlasting life can fit. But in our study of eternal life, we found that it is qualitative. According to the book of John, chapter 17, verse 3. You are not ready for me. See, if we don't do, we are end time Christians. If we don't do this due diligence, you can't navigate accurately as a Christian. I'll try again. If you don't get it, then I'll leave. Same word, the life of God, Zoe. In one verse, it is quoted as everlasting. And it is in the verse where it is quoted as everlasting, the word end is inserted. I checked it in the Greek. That word end is limit. You can verify it. Are you there? Okay. Then in the next verse, it now uses eternal life. And it's the same pilot number. First of all, the reason why that is possible is because of the elasticity of the application of the word. What it means is more than one word. So this can apply, that can apply. Are you there? Okay. So when we are talking about eternal life, we are talking about the quality that the life has. And there are, I found eight of such qualities. One of which is the ability to know God. Another one is that, you know, the Bible says that God will strengthen us with might by his spirit in our inner man. So the spirit of God has a supply protocol that it can release to swallow up all of the weaknesses in your mortal body. Just like someone that goes to work and you walked yourself out, came back home, and you feel as though the Holy Ghost is calling you for a time of prayer when you don't have the physical strength to prosecute that prayer. When you begin the prayer, just speaking in tongues, in a lazy way, after a while, you will notice that you are strengthened with might. And that tiredness is taken away. So that's another quality that life has. It has the ability to quicken. Are you? Good. But anytime it is rendered as everlasting life, it is rendered so with the reference of quantity. Anytime it is referenced as eternal life, it is referenced so with the sense of quality. Did you get that? Now, I need to tell us a matter. The matter that I need to tell us is that the day you gave your life to Christ, you received the complex mixture. Are you there? The quality of being able to discern God was part of the complex mixture. So from that point, in fact, Jesus refused to define what it meant to be born again. Instead, he gave an illustration in the book of John chapter 3. He says, John chapter 3 verse 3. Put it on the screen so that my audience will know that it's in the Bible. Quickly. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It means that when you become born again, the Holy Ghost comes into your heart. The Holy Ghost comes with a consciousness. See? That consciousness that the Holy Ghost comes with is the consciousness to be able to, the consciousness of the things that are going on in heaven. He brings it to you. So, because the proof of life is consciousness. If you have not paralyzed in your legs, if I touch your legs, you should be conscious of my touch. If you are not dead in your spirit, and the Holy Ghost is still active and agile in your spirit, he will bring the consciousness of the things of heaven into that space of your heart. So you will be able, if you press long enough, you'll be able to know what is on God's mind concerning a matter. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit brings a consciousness of the realities that are obtainable in the realm of God. Can you see that? So this is the quality to know God that Jesus defines as eternal life. You get it? So one of the concerns, the doctrinal concerns and the errors flying over the place is that because there is an aspect of the life of God that is called everlasting life. So there is a conclusion that the moment you give your life to Christ, you have everlasting life. So you cannot lose your salvation. So do anything you want. Your salvation is still intact because the nature of your salvation is that it is everlasting. We need to do all the jobs, all the theological, so that nobody will deceive you tomorrow. Do you get it? Now that you get it, I'm happy. So I can talk in this class because the people can understand. I would like you to see, you know, I showed you a scripture in Matthew chapter 7. It say, enter in by what way? By the straight road. That's ancient English. Straight. Straight is ancient English. Let's get another translation of what? Narrow. Tight. The road is tight. You need to. Like this. Enter by what? The title. And that was Jesus' counsel. Because if you enter by the broad road, that path leads to a location called destruction. Are you following me? If you enter by the straight road, where does the straight road lead? Next verse. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto. Can you see that the sense in which this life, are you there? Stay with me. The sense in which this life appears here, it looks like a destination, because the destruction that was written against the broad road, the conclusion of that part was what? Destruction. And then in the same vein, the conclusion of the straight road is now life. I have been trying to make you understand that every time everlasting life is used, you have a word attached. The end, therefore, is everlasting life, like a destination. But when eternal life is used, that is the first consignment of the manifestation of that life that begins to walk in the life of the believer. The moment he gives his life to Christ, he comes alive in the spirit. Now there's this guy, he cannot survive a day without a green bottle. Those of you that are US born will not understand what I mean. All the alcohol produced in Africa comes out wearing a green vest, a green bottle. May Lord help us. It was when I got here, I now found that there are various colors of bottle. In fact, it's more brown here. But green. So someone gave his life to Christ and he was genuinely saved. But he was hooked on the green bottle. He didn't have a teacher. He now came home and opened one of the, as he wanted to pour out, something here now made him feel uncomfortable. No teacher, nothing. But the life was speaking that I'm not compatible with the green bottle. So he did not drink. Then he went to the pastor and said, he wanted to pour out his usual. He felt it. What? He said, that is your God. Your God is a living God and he dwells in your heart. He's just expressing his displeasure about your journey with a green bottle. Are you there? So that's eternal life, because he is knowing the mind of God about things. So when you get born again, you are equipped with that aspect of the life that is called what? Eternal life. Now, if you begin to relate with that aspect, because, are you there? The fact that you made a confession, say, I accept you as my Lord, I accept you as my Savior, one time decision, right? And you are expecting that after you made that one time decision, you lived your life the way you wanted to live it. You were downtown every Friday. You come out drunk by 5 a.m. They push you into the gutter so that they can clean the road. And then you revive when the Texas summer sun alights on you. then you revive. You live that way like a rolling stone all through your life, and you are expecting that just because you made one decision, it covers for... No, no. You are wrong. That's why it says the end is what? Everlasting life. The life has the potential... Where did I drop the phone? On the pulpit. This is the life. As long as you are in possession of this life, it has eternal dimensions. Gives you access to discerning God. And as long as you are in possession of this life, at the end, everlasting. But what happens if you lose this life before the end? You will not experience the aspect of that life that guarantees the everlasting dimension. So let us see the path. The path you take. He said, enter into the straight gate. So now that you have given your life to Christ, there is a counsel that Jesus is giving you as to the path to take in your Christian life, such that there is a guarantee that you will end up in life. That is what the book of Romans, chapter 6, is trying to tell us. So you can now write, if you came with a notepad, write parts. First part, Romans 6, verse 18, the content of the first part. You were made, are you there in verse 18? It said, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of what? Righteousness. We're trying to trace the first part. You became free from sin. You became a servant of righteousness. But you see, the emphasis here is the word servant. Please underline servant. How did you become a servant of righteousness? Next verse. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so yield your members unto righteousness. To righteousness, unto holiness. So we have two parts here. And Jesus advised us to enter through the straight gate. I asked you to underline servants because of the first law of the Spirit, which says, anyone that you yield yourself as a servant to obey, the servant of such you will become. You there? Let me look for it. You think I'm just quoting? Sixteen. It said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself as servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That means when you come into the kingdom of God, the unfaithful wife will still want to continue in sin. But this unfaithful wife is not aware of the fact that the way you decide to enter when you got into the kingdom will determine what you meet at the end. And there are two parts that are available here. The first part is what? Sin. This guy has come into the kingdom, but he still likes, he has a girlfriend in Alabama, has one lady, beautiful lady in Arkansas. And just so that there's a balance, because a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. So he leaves one in Utah. Every Sunday is in church, being like this. But he has maintained those three individuals. And you know, they are in different states, so there's no possibility of them. He's skillful enough to maintain the infrastructure. And that's how he wants to navigate in his Christian life. Jesus is saying through Matthew chapter 7 that the end of such a man has already been judged. Can you see that? Can you see that he says that if the path you decide to take is a path that is heavily laden with sin, and you are committing sin intentionally, it will result in spiritual debt, and you will lose the gold coin. Are you there? What's the second part? It says, if you begin to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? It is not the Holy Spirit alone that is prompting you. Because of the fallen nature of humankind, sin is a power that takes advantage of all of your appetites to draw you away from God. So you are receiving promptings from the spirit of lust that wants to command you to go in a certain direction of the flesh. You are also receiving promptings from the Holy Ghost. Are you there? Because the Holy Spirit brings the consciousness of another realm. And the Holy Ghost will not be quiet in your vessel, because he is the spirit that bears witness. So the Holy Spirit now begins to prompt you that path you want to go to, he makes you feel uneasy. And if you recognize his authority and decide to align with him, you are beginning to accept the path of obedience unto righteousness. And if you accept the path of obedience unto righteousness, the end of that arrangement is also certain. So there are many that at the time of evaluation will no longer be in possession of what made them favored in the eyes of God, just because of the way they decided to enter into the kingdom. Now, let us see the numerous possibilities. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as he yielded your members, servants to uncleanliness. How I wish I had a board. The guy bought. Are you there? Before you got born again, you yielded your members as servants of unrighteousness. From iniquity to iniquity. That means you were creative, advancing in your ability to sin. You were scientific about it, making discoveries in the way of sin, from iniquity to higher levels of iniquity. When you gave your life to Christ, and I've met a lot of Christians that they have given their claim to be born again now, but they have remained on the path of unrighteousness. All right? Still exploring iniquity unto iniquity. Do you get that? The end point of that man's life is not going to be the end point of a man's life that decides to subscribe to obedience and then to righteousness. And then he bears the fruit of holiness. Can you see that? So don't be deceived. Because part of the component that the life contains is everlasting life. Don't conclude that just because it is called everlasting life, everyone that accepts Jesus will be admitted into his full import. Everlasting life is in view. Are you there? But the path you choose will determine if you retain it and you enter into its fullness. Is that clear? Okay. I also need to bring further evidences, because a message, a theological message, is the presentation of a lawyer in court. Evidence. More evidences. So can you see the two parts here? It's either you decide that you want to continue in uncleanness, moving from iniquity unto iniquity, and the end of that is death. Are you there? Now, if you go to the word destruction that Jesus spoke about, click on that word in Matthew chapter 7 verse 14. Is it 14 or 13? Matthew 7, 13. Click on the word destruction. Let's find out if we are saying the same thing. What do you find there?
Perdition.
Yes.
Perishing.
Perishing.
It also means loss.
Okay. Lost. So the person is lost.
Eternal misery in hell.
Eternal misery in hell. Can you see that we are saying the same thing? This road leaded to destruction. Is the destruction, the Greek word translated destruction is reading and the attendant meaning. That destruction is not just that you were riding in your Tesla and you had an accident. That destruction talks about, yes, what's the third one there?
The destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell.
Eternal misery in hell. The guy came and he had all the privileges of salvation, but he chose to take the path of walking in the broad way. The broad way is when you decide, even though God, what happened to my light? I used to walk here and I had light. But now I'm limited. Hallelujah. The reason why the issue of sin was raised in verse 1, verse 2, Romans chapter 6, is because every believer will have to take a decision on how you deal with sin. That your decision is your entry point, either into the broad way or the constricted part. So if you decide that you are dead to sin and you shut the door of sin completely, it is not one of the options I am willing to consider. It means that every day you are making the same decision that you made the day you gave your life to Christ. Because sin is in the post office, sin is on the airplane, sin is in the bank, sin is in the hospital. Are you there?
Yes.
I was in the big business class cabin. I don't know where we're flying to. A lady, oh my God. So there was sin there. The summary was that in the business class cabin there was sin. You will encounter the opportunities to explore sin every day of your life. But the believer that enters into the straight path, he knows that he has the ability to sin. But because he wants to be faithful in the marriage, he shuts that door. And his options are not many. His path becomes narrow. When he and his wife quarrels, he knows that the options are not many. His path is narrow. The options are few. So reconciliation is the only option. So even when you get angry and you go to work in the morning, begin to rehearse how you come and I know your pride is in trouble, but and you want to maintain that pride. I'm not saying don't maintain it, but find the wisdom, because the options are not what. But when you find someone that is loose, those days when we're in the oil industry, I moved with one of my colleagues who were doing a very serious job, so we had to speak to the company people, put them in proper perspective that we are here to implement this. So we went there. They had the television on and the newscaster was reading out the news. And he pointed the television and said, "Oh, that was my girlfriend 3 years ago, that one." We moved into the office. He saw the receptionist. He gave a hug and said, "Hey, that was his girlfriend 4 years ago." We entered into the first. He was catching up. Bah, bah, bah. Meanwhile, he's a Christian. All right, so, but he has chosen. Nobody chose for him. He chose the broad path, the broad way. Do not be a member of a church that the pastor is on the Broadway, because he is leading you somewhere, and the Bible is prophetic. He has already revealed the end. So help me preach to your neighbor. It's not about today, it's about the end. When you approach the end, they will check the route you took to arrive there. And the route will determine what you are given. Either destruction or. So when we speak about that aspect called everlasting life, we always speak about that aspect with the presence of a word called end. Come with me. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning from verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3. What we are trying to scan now are scriptures that speak about the end. It said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." 13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Next verse. "For we are made partakers of Christ, comma, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto what?" End. So there are some that will not hold the beginning of their conversation, the beginning of their confidence. Some of them will not hold it to the end. It means that for that person, that coin was lost. As long as you still have it intact, you are guaranteed everything he can purchase and everything he can afford. But many people will no longer have the coin in their hand at the end of the line. And that is the reason why I believe the translators differentiated between the eternal aspect of things and what? The everlasting aspect of things. That's one scripture. Two, second scripture. Are you there? Matthew chapter 10 verse 22. Put it on the screen. Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." He that endureth, it means that the road can be rough sometimes. Just because of your faith, you can be denied a promotion. Just because of your faith, you can be denied some compliments, some favors. Some, because of that, can renounce Jesus and say, "I want the favor." Are you there? I have seen that before. But he that endures to the end, Jesus did not, he did not even hide the fact that there are things we need to endure. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So every believer that we disciple, we must disciple them with the consciousness of the stamina that is required to receive a commendation from Jesus. Because of what I know in the Bible, you can take a gun, a revolver, and put it on my head and say, deny Jesus. I know the consequence of that denial. I will pray for you. I will plead with you. I will beg you to shoot. You know why? Because I've already arrived at the end. Most of you want to succeed quickly, as if it's only time that has ratings for success. Because that success you are looking for in time can be the reason why some people do not have good records at the end. Because Satan came to trade. Satan is a marketer, an enterprising marketer, and he does what is called soul trade. So Satan can come to you and say, you know what? I want to make you rich. I want you to enlarge yourself. Glory. You've been on the backside of the wilderness, in suburban places, rural areas. I want to upgrade you. So, okay, I'm interested in that. And then you trade with Satan. Nobody will know you have traded. It is only when you arrive at the end, people will hail you that you are now one of the movers, one of the shakers of things. And you appear on the front page of magazines with big stomach. But at the end, all right, come with me. I'm not done. Hebrews chapter 3. We'll begin from verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Are you there? It says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are ye? We are Christ's house. And then there's a condition. Can you see the if there? If we remain Christ's house, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto what? Amen. We remain Christ's house if we hold that confidence unto the end. Anytime you see that word end, the aspect of the life that it is talking about is the everlasting aspect. Are you there? Because of this, the way you enter matters. So let me give you two final statements. Then, just in case you realize that the route you took is so broad, that's accommodated idols, accommodated the world, accommodated Satan, accommodated the age, you no longer know yourself. Because the way you started, you are so changed that even to yourself, you are a stranger. No longer fit to prosecute your ordination from heaven. There is room for you to make a U-turn and change the route that you are taking and adopt the other route that leads to life. It's not enough for you to say yes to Jesus. Every single day, because you are on the constricted path, you are saying yes to Jesus. There will be things that will be so magnified to capture your attention and to divert your course. But because you are saying yes to Jesus today, that's the reason why you remain on the path. In fact, they will give you a name and say you are a Jew. You are a Jew. You are not a man of our time. You are not a woman of our time. You are not current. You still hold old values, archaic philosophies. It is narrow. It is narrow. It is narrow. Finish a healing meeting in London, and God moved all kinds of. In fact, that was the meeting we went for, and there was a lady that had sickle cell anemia. You know sickle cell? You know it's genetic? She got healed. They've been managing. She's not a baby. She's not a baby. She's a grown-up person. And they've been managing her case. Her doctors know her case. And the hospital knows her case. And they've been managing her case very well in the London hospital. Then she came for the healing meeting. She got healed. Went back to the doctors. They quarantined her. You know, under such circumstances, they may even run a fingerprint scan just to confirm that it is you, because it doesn't make sense for someone's DNA to change. It doesn't. Hey, what? No. They ran the test again and again. It was still changed. Took her to Oxford from London, where the most crazy set of doctors. It was still changed. And they wrote a 24-page statement. Only the doctors can understand that. With a lot of medical jargons, trying to. And then at the end of the conclusion, normal people like us can understand that. That the condition for which she was labeled as a sickle cell patient no longer exists. So it is in that service that God changed that lady's DNA. I was coming out of that service full of the Holy Ghost. We entered, it was a Marriott hotel that I was saying, Marriott in, where they call that place? Bankside. What's the name of that location? No, it wasn't a Canary Wharf. It was the costliest part of London. Marriott Bankside. When you get to the UK, ask for that place. But make sure that your wallet is heavy with US dollars. That was where they put me. I was entering into the elevator, and a white lady joined me. Because she has seen, when I'm coming out of the elevator, our people, the protocol people will come and take me. She must have guessed that this is an African prince. So he has so much money. And when we are coming back, we are all very serious. So she entered into the my men when they leave. She did not. She was not. She now looked at me and said, "You look stressed." Then she touched me here. I said, This nerve I'm touching here is the nerve that takes the weight of your stress. And I'm good with stress." At that moment, remember the way by which you enter. And in order for Satan to be Satan, he ensured that the lady and I were on the same floor. I had to ask one of our pastors to stay with me in the room so that, you know, you need to be accountable. Oh. If you want to remain on the path and not change lanes, please, let's stay here. Because that's how I survived Bankside. Marriott Bankside. I remember we were coming from Tanzania. For Tanzania, it was deliverance. People began to vomit the things that they gave them to eat in witchcraft. I mean physical vomit, because the demons were coming out. We finished that conference, took Ethiopian Airways, we went to Addis Ababa, and then we had to spend the night, and there were two elevators. So the elevator A was crowded. I said, no, I don't have time to. Then I now realized why the people left elevator B. It was not crowded. Because there are some very tall ladies there. Oh my God. And you know, the Ethiopians, even though it may not be true, but they claim they are the most beautiful Africans. It's a claim. I don't share in the sentiment, but that claim may exist. The claim exists. And I found one as if they brought her out of a leather bag. Tall. And she was pleading for me to take her to my room for the night. Even if it's free. That the way she's seeing me, I look good. Remember the way. Every single day you will need to make the same decision you made to be saved. You make that decision to prove that you are committed to your husband. Many have told me that I'm a very tough preacher. I don't see myself that way. But that's what they said. As tough as you think I am, I finished preaching in a place, and a lady, as tough as I am, and I cry out for righteousness. That was not a deterrent. She came and she likes champions. For the sake of the part you are taking, don't accept you are a champion that day. For the sake. So this is the graph that I drew in my study note. This is the graph. First part, free from sin. Second point on the part is servants of righteousness. Servants of God. Third point on the part, bearing the fruit of holiness. Fourth point on the part, realized the hope of everlasting life. Are you there? Second part, free from sin. Servants of unrighteousness, bearing the fruit of iniquity unto iniquity, ending up in spiritual death. You choose. Choose the part you want. But Jesus had cried out as a counselor. And he said what? Enter in through what? That's the one that will take you to the end. That is what? Life. Rise up on your feet. What we want to achieve this morning before we enter into the healing service is to change. If you're on the wrong lane, you can change. The opportunity to sin will haunt you all the days of your life, but ensure that you remain on the narrow path. Is that clear? Are you on the wrong path? You are born again. You give me your life to Christ, but the path you choose is making the precious thing that you receive vulnerable. And you want to recovenant your life to Christ and say, Lord, as I rise from this service today, I will remain on the narrow path as long as you supply your grace until the end. If that's what you're saying, I'd like you to raise your right hand up because I need to pray with you. I want a change of path. Yes, my salvation is not in doubt, but I've been navigating on the wrong path. If you are saying that, leave your seat. Come here and begin to repent before God, and I'll pray with you. And the agreement is that you stay on the right path. I invite you. I welcome you. Come do your business with the Lord at the foot of the altar. Tell him, say, Lord, I repent, I repent, I repent, I repent before you. I repent before you. I've never known that you are this serious with our life. I have come to the decision to be loyal to you. Loyal. Be loyal to the marriage that I have with you. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Wash me with your blood from every stain I have accumulated because of the path that I have chosen. Name the enemy that is confronting you. Is it pornography? Name it. Immorality. Lord, I repent. Can you speak to him? Forget about your neighbor. It's your business with Jesus. Have mercy. Have mercy. Please take this moment serious. Don't look around. I change the path that I'm walking. And I embrace the path that is tight, path that is narrow, because I want to inherit everlasting life. I want to inherit everlasting life. Lord, look on us with mercy. Look on us with mercy. Look on us with mercy. In the name of Jesus, look on us with mercy. And let your blood go to work, cleansing us, renewing us, renewing us. Lord, also, yes, we know you've been demanding several things from us all this while. We accept that you are placing on us. We accept it. And we ask, oh Father, help us. Help us. Help us with your grace. Help us with your grace. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, look on your people. They have changed paths. I ask for the grace to sustain them on their navigation. In the name of Jesus. There are some among them that have a calling that has been haunting them for so long that have refused to respond. Today, Lord, they yield. They yield. They yield. They yield. They yield. They yield before you. They yield before your presence. Begin with them in this great calling that you have assigned to them. They have changed paths. Draw me near. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Accept these ones, redirect them to the path that you have ordained. Grant them grace for a sweet walk in your presence. In the name of Jesus. Please open your eyes. Just pass through that door. The counselors will say one or two things to you for 10 minutes. Then you join the healing service. Just this way. Okay? Draw me near, nearer to the cross where draw me near, So now we are going to begin the healing service. It will not take long because we're already high. The tension, the spiritual tension is very high. So, are you there? Can we take a moment and invite the healing presence of Jesus into this place? Invite the healing presence of Jesus. Invite the healing presence of Jesus. Invite the healing presence. Go back to that, my son.
Amen. 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 Robe mamuta kila bonsamena. Sofilato mita keti ya bontemena. Skevo venani kaske monsali. Rabo konte baskito pramenaita. Rakamena konte diska babodes. Gemino kosketa brante kuska minanso eloko belaito kopre babadosketa lit. Ama mone kaskito bante li. Amen. 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 Amen.
a prophet adorned with blue robes. He calls you to walk as a prophet. And the fire of the prophet will descend upon you in a moment of time. Father, that vessel that you have called to walk as a prophet, identify that vessel with a touch of your flame. Shall hear like a prophet. The restrictions and limitations will be taken away, and you will see the glory of God. Grace is given unto you. You are crowned. You shall no longer walk in darkness. You shall no longer walk in darkness. The fire is coming. It 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 is coming. The obstacle is taken from you. Amen.
into this place with any sickness, any disease. I saw someone. Something around your heart. There's tension on your heart. The Lord will loosen it up. Hearing challenges, hearing problems. Oh. Growths, cancers. God wants to effect a cure. If you have a hearing problem on one of your ears, maybe this ear cannot hear, just take this finger, put it in, block it. If you have a growth on your body, a tumor, fibroid, cancer, look for where the growth is. Put your hand on the growth and I'll pray. You have a pain on your body. Put your hand where the pain is. The Lord himself will raise you up this morning. And if I say in the name of Jesus, you give me a big amen. In the name of Jesus. Hey. Now listen. Someone needs help today. For when we said amen, I saw someone coming out of the grave. Now, wait. The mark of death is on someone in this congregation. And the Lord will deliver you from death haunting your soul. Father, in the name of Jesus. Have you found the person? Yeah. He sent me. He sent me. In the name of Jesus. Oh. Kilato kete kete kote katai. Yes, confirm. I mean, you don't come to the house of God to die. I break the yoke of death. I arrest the spirit of death in the name of Jesus Christ. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, I break your yoke. Listen to me. You don't come to the house of God to die. We destroy that spell in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I release your daughter from the yoke. Yes, arise and be healed, be delivered. That cancer will dry up. That cancer, it will dry up. It will dry up from the root. In the name of Jesus. So I bind. Spirit, deafening spirits, be bound, come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. I bind every blinding spirits, be bound. Out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. You don't come here to die. Take life. The witchcraft that was used, placed on your body. Today I bring you out of that captivity. I set you at liberty in the name of Jesus. I destroy every pain, every paralysis, every mental attack, every depression. I fight it to its roots in the name of Jesus Christ. That one that has been kept stagnated, kept frustrated, I remove your chains and I proclaim your liberty in the name of Jesus. To fall off, I command it to drop. Someone came with a baby. I believe the person is in the overflow, and the person is trusting God for something on that baby. I'm seeing that in my vision. Somebody came with a baby. The person, I believe, is in the overflow. Come with that baby. Come with that baby. Come with that baby. I see that in my spirit. I see that in my spirit. That the yoke might be destroyed. That the yoke might be destroyed. That the yoke might be destroyed. That the yoke might be taken away. Stand by that side. I will come to you. Father, take away sickness. Take away pain. Take away curses. Take away afflictions. Let yokes be broken in the name of Jesus. So I say to the ears, hear now. I say to the eyes, see now. I say to cancer, dry up from the root. I break your yoke in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Every arrow that was shot at you to unbalance you, to throw you into confusion, today I neutralize his power in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke in the name of Jesus. It is written that man will despise a thief if he steals only to satisfy his hunger. But when he's caught, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Today, I have caught you, O thief, and I demand that you restore, 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 restore in the name of Jesus. Aya. Ela mokaite keso kila kura mata. Ela samina kaita kombe mato. Ebrokendo sima kate. Emo sika ikarento mina salibo koria. Remain where I ask you to remain. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. So healings have begun to take place right now. Now come, 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 come. You. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Of the Lord Jesus, he comes to satisfy your hunger. You
signs and wonders. I bless you in the name of Jesus.
I see something like a trap. A trap that Satan has made. Looks a little different from a fishing net. There's somebody Satan has been hunting. He wants to use that trap to capture. Satan is hoping to capture this person in the person's sleep. That was what I received. In the person's sleep. And it is God's will for that person to be released today. Have you found the person? Father, in the name of Jesus, they've been hunting her. If they were attempting to catch you in your sleep and take your life. Yeah, I saw that. Father, I destroy the covenant with death. I give you life in the name of Jesus Christ. You and yours shall live. Are you coming now? Huh? Where was she? Was she following the service? Oh, she was under the anointing. Okay. You can pass like this. Come here. Come here. Now listen. Listen to me. Yes, so your resurrection has started. Remain standing there. Remain standing there. Okay, so there are some people in the congregation, the pains that you came with has left. Check for it. There's someone, I'm seeing something like, something that looks like a growth. Please look for that growth. Look for it. Check for it. Even if you need to go to the restroom. Someone came with something like a growth. That's what I see in the spirit. Check for that growth. Check for it. Check for it. Check for it. So if you notice the pain has gone, you can hear clearer now. I will take two testimonies. You can, if you confirm it and you are willing to testify, then you come to the front. Why did you bring him? Okay. So is it all of them? Is it speech issues? Oh, okay, so we'll touch this one like this. Father, let this yoke of confusion be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it be broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Three months, huh? You observe the baby for 3 months. Then let us know the situation. So, I believe I have a gift in this area. I believe so. So, we'll check on these children 3 months from today. The pain has gone. You are relieved. And please, that person, you came with a growth on your body. Please go to the restroom. Look for it. So you give my pastor a feedback after 3 months. Okay? 3 months. Hey, come, lady. Now let me just help you, huh? Let me help you and just take this thing off. Thank you, Father. You've checked, you've noticed there's a difference, there's a change. Then you come out here, come out here. I'll take just like 2 or 3. You have many relatives that are into witchcraft. So what happened to you is that they took a report. I know you not believe. Hey, they took a report about you to a witchcraft kofu. Somebody reported you to that kofu, and the kofu accepted to take on the responsibility of afflicting you. Your seasons began to change. Don't say amen. Because of the affliction. You know, we are so religious in the house of God. Because of the affliction, the seasons, your seasons began to change. In 21 seconds, I will ask the Holy Spirit for help. To help me find that person. Because it's God's way for me to help you. Father, in the name of Jesus. That one in this congregation whose name was taken, person was reported to the witchcraft family to bring affliction on his life, on her life. In the name of Jesus, find them. The only merchandise that Jesus gave us is life. We break the yoke of death and we give life in its place. So the affliction that was designed to throw you into confusion, today, in the name of Jesus, today, in the name of Jesus, we break that yoke. Esophila mantali. There's prayer. I like this verse. You shall not die.
Jesus will take away the injury that was made, the delays you have suffered. We break that yoke. We release you. Oh my God. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, I like us to speak in the Spirit. I want to run a sex in the Spirit. A sex. A sex. If you can, you may be seated. I like this place. Oh, I thought something today. This is my place. Yes. What happened there?
Yes, Apostle. Our sister here has been experiencing a sharp pain in her back.
The sharp pain.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. And as you were praying for her healing, the moment you declared check, and she said she checked her back and the pain is no more. To the glory of Jesus.
How long have you had that pain? How long? Come. Just walk through. Okay, you are healed. Can we give Jesus a big hand? Now, please, I have an announcement. Anyone that came here with a growth, go and check for it. I would like you to go and conduct an inspection. I saw someone with a growth. The Lord was interested in that growth. So please check. When you have a feedback on the growth, you come. Yes, what happened to you, my brother?
Yes, sir. There's a double healing here. He was healed in his throat and also healed in his back as you were praying.
Give him the microphone. Let me hear from him. So what was your challenge?
For the past 3 days.
Okay.
I've had some.
Okay, on your throat.
And all of a sudden, gone.
Gone, okay.
The bad thing. Usually I will have, it doesn't matter, it will go. I will sleep, wake up with back pain.
Back pain, okay.
But all gone.
You can't find the pain anymore. Come. I will give you praise. Okay. Yes, indeed. Can you celebrate Jesus? So I've not found that my person. Okay, so I will make my move now. There was a growth. If I didn't see it, I would not insist. Okay. Yes, what happened?
She had sustained fibroid and cysts.
She has sustained what?
Fibroid.
Fibroids?
Yes, and ovarian cysts.
Ovarian cysts.
So when you said go and check, she went to the bathroom to check.
Okay.
She checked her body and she can't find the growth anymore.
She can't find the growth.
hate your husband? Is it not written that every tree that our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out? So I demand that that which ails him, which was not planted by God, let it dry up to the roots. Let it die. In the name of Jesus. So Lord, let the power you are transmitting on her husband also come upon her. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, in the name of Jesus. Everything that God has not planted in your life, let it be removed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay, let me to see if my assignment has finished. Okay, so there's someone in the congregation. The anointing that is on my head now will transfer from me. To transfer, it will come on you. Lord, transfer, put it. 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 So it's coming. It's coming now. It's coming. Force, just take your right hand, put it on your head. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, transfer from the pool of grace that you have given me. Give them a portion. Give them a portion. Let it help their lives, help their families, help their businesses, help everything that they lay their hands upon to do. Let there be a transfer, a release, a release, a release, a release in the name of Jesus. I bless you. I bless your household. I bless the work of your hands. Prosper in the land that God has planted you. In the name of Jesus, and I decree that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. In the name of Jesus, no weapon, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. In the name of Jesus, grace is your portion. The hand of God comes upon you. In the name of Jesus, I pray for those online, those trusting God for a miracle. The hand of Jesus, it comes upon you. It comes upon you. It comes upon you. Even today, in the name of Jesus.